If you want to turn with me to Luke 19, that's where I'm going to be reading from. We're going to read the first 10 verses, which is the story of Zacchaeus and his encounter with Jesus. Zacchaeus, I'm not going to sing the song, but this message, I think, hopefully will speak to us and challenge us, because this week it has, it's challenged me, and so I hope that it does it for all of us. So Luke 19, verses 1 and then through 10, we'll start at verse 1. He, meaning Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, it almost sounds like that's a specific time and place. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, he called him by name, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Jesus invited himself in. So he, Zacchaeus, hurried down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. How many of you guys are thankful that Jesus came to seek and save the lost? Amen. I've titled this message, Who's Seeking Who? Who's Seeking Who? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for your presence and your nearness. And I thank you, Lord, that you're in this place and that you're not dead, but you're still alive and you're still moving and working on our behalf. And I believe, Lord, that you're still dwelling among us and in us. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our eyes, open up our minds spiritually, Lord, to be able to see you. I pray, Lord, that you convict us in the areas that we need convicted. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring the change in our life as we receive you. So God, I pray right now that we would have an open posture, Lord, open to you, open to what you want to do. We thank you, Lord. We love you. I thank you for your grace, your love, your kindness, and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're several days into September at this point. Today's September 6th, and so we've made it past most of the quarantining and stay-at-home orders, which I'm thankful for. It's kind of frustrating, and you get restless when you feel like you're locked in your house all the time, especially when you live with Kyle Blackerby. And if my mom was here, I'd probably get a big amen, and my sister. But the reason I bring that up is because my sister, the way that she survived quarantine and the stay-at-home was by online shopping. And so I would joke with her, we laugh about it, and I tease her, because every so many days a new package was coming in, and it was always from Mackenzie Blackerby. It had her name on it. And so we would all think it was, we'd laugh and think it was funny, and my dad would cry because it was his money being spent. And so she's doing something now to make a little bit of money, but there for a while I think it was his money that was being spent. And she it just brought her joy and happiness and some relief, some excitement, something to look forward to by having something come in the mail. She wanted the next new thing. And I have a confession to make that I'm not necessarily proud of, but I seem to have adopted her ability to spend a lot of money online. And so the past few weeks, I've been back at school. And a lot of my books and things I needed for my classes and some of the stuff for my dorm room, I would order online. And so I would say most of it was necessary, but then part of it, I think, is probably my newfound hobby in golf that I've probably spent more money recently than I should have. And you can look at me with judgmental eyes, but I think most of you know that you probably do the same thing. As human beings, we're constantly looking for something. I think we're constantly seeking something. A lot of times it's the next new thing. Some people hop around from relationship to relationship, looking for the next new thing, or maybe the next new thrill, the next new hobby. Not all of our desires and longings are inherently wrong, though. I think that God has placed certain desires and longings inside of us that all of us have. Even if we're not a Christian, even if we're not a follower of Jesus, I think that as human beings, we're all made in the image of God, and He has put eternity into our hearts. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that He placed eternity into man's heart. And so we have a longing and a desire for something that's eternal. We have something, we're craving and looking for something that the material world, that really nothing in this world can satisfy and offer us. We've had eternity placed in our heart. And I'm convinced that as human beings made in God's image, we are really craving connection and relationship with our Creator. And some atheists and people of different world religions wouldn't agree with this statement that I'm about to make. But I would go as far as to say is that every human being who has ever walked the planet has been longing to see who Jesus is. And if we look in Luke 19, I think that Zacchaeus is a picture and a portrayal and really kind of a manifestation of the human condition, of the human heart. We see that he was a chief tax collector. And so he would have had some power and some clout. He would have been rejected by a lot of the Jews, but with the Romans and the other, his tax collector buddies, he would have had some pull and some power. And then also Luke takes the time to point out that he was very rich. And as the story plays out, with as much as he was willing to give away and pay back, and with Luke saying that he was very rich, I think that we can see that he probably had enough money and wealth to buy just about anything that he wanted. And so he had power and he had money, which are two things that I think a lot of humans are striving after. Maybe some of your friends, family, maybe some of us, we're looking for some sort of power, clout, popularity, and then also money. And Zacchaeus had both of these, but yet he was still longing for something. He was still missing something. He was longing, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. Undoubtedly, he had heard about this man from Nazareth named Jesus as he was going around healing the sick and healing, walking on water and driving out demons and forgiving sin, doing things that really only God could do. It's undoubtedly that Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. He had heard about him, but he was wanting to seek and see him for himself. He was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, Luke says, and on account of his small stature, so the state that he was in, and also the crowd that was around him, he couldn't see him. He couldn't get a clear picture, couldn't get a clear view of Jesus, a clear encounter. And this is probably elementary and pretty simple, but I think it's worth reminding ourselves, and it was worth reminding myself this week in study, that sometimes we might have to separate ourselves from the crowd and maybe what everybody else is doing in order to see Jesus a little more clearly, in order to get a little closer to Jesus. Zacchaeus ran on ahead of the crowd and climbed up a tree in order to see Jesus. I believe that it was his desire, something that was missing on the inside of him. I don't think he truly knew what all Jesus had to offer him, salvation and eternal life and restoration, all these things that we know to be true about our God and our Savior. I don't think Zacchaeus really understood that the way that we do, but there was a desire and a longing in his heart, in his soul, in his being, because I like I said, I think we're all craving that. I think Zacchaeus had a desire to see who Jesus was. And that desire led him into running ahead of the crowd, separating from the people, climbing a tree. And I think it's worth noting that our desires lead us to do these things. And so if we have misplaced desires, I think that it can cause us to run in some of the wrong directions and maybe climb some of the wrong trees. We can't have misplaced desires. And I think even good desires, if they're not carried out correctly, can take us into some of the wrong directions. This God-given desire, this innate desire that we have inside of us is intended to motivate us and drive us closer to God. It's meant to bring us unto Jesus. If you look at verse 5 real quick, if you don't want to look at it, I can just read it real fast. I kind of emphasized it when I read it initially, but it says, when Jesus came to the place, when Jesus came to the place. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I've done a little bit of Greek study at school, but I did just kind of look it up online, so you can fact check me if you want. But a lot of Greek words have multiple uses and multiple meanings. And so one Greek word can show up in the Bible several times, but have a different translation into the English. And so the wording, the phrase, place, can also be used as opportunity. And so Jesus came to the place. And I don't think that this was a coincidence or an accident. I honestly believe that Jesus went through Jericho on purpose. And I believe that it was to encounter Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't know what was in store for him, but his desire led him to this place. And then Jesus came to the place and then looked up and spoke to Zacchaeus and called him by name. But he came to the place. He came to the opportunity. And so I really don't believe that Jesus was hiding from Zacchaeus. I don't believe that God hides from us. I don't believe that Jesus hides from us. Sometimes it might feel like it, but I want to maybe challenge you and get you to look at it. Maybe we're not giving him the opportunity. Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus already was. It's not that Zacchaeus came and found Jesus, but it's that Zacchaeus got to the place to where he gave Jesus opportunity to speak into his life. We have to give him the opportunity. We have to get to the place where we are giving him opportunity. And I want to read Revelation 3:20, which I believe we can get up on the screen. Revelation 3:20. Now Jesus here, these are the words of Jesus in this verse, and he's speaking to the church of Laodicea. And I realize this is a completely different book, completely different context from what we read in Luke 19. But these words that we're going to discuss here in a moment that Jesus said, I think speak to every person, every human being in any context, in any year, in any country, any time and space. And I believe that they speak to us today at Connection Church on September 6th. I think I got the date right. 2020. So Jesus spoke in Revelation 3, verse 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Now, what's interesting about that verse is the word door is also used as opportunity. And so we read in Luke 19 where Zacchaeus got to the place where he gave Jesus opportunity to come in, and we see that Zacchaeus received Jesus. Jesus spoke in Revelation 3:20 these words that are still having impact, still speaking to us today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I think this is almost a picture of what happened in Luke 19. Jesus standing at the door and knocking, and if you hear his voice and open the door, if you hear his voice and give him opportunity, then he will come in and eat with us and us with him. And so Jesus came to the place. He came to the place of opportunity to where Zacchaeus got to. Zacchaeus' desire led him to the place where he gave Jesus opportunity to speak into his life. And Jesus came, standing at the door and knocking, called Zacchaeus by name, called him by name. And Zacchaeus came down from the tree, opened the door, received him, I like the wording, and I think it's significant that Zacchaeus actually received him. He hurried down, came down, received him joyfully. It isn't that Zacchaeus received a new set of beliefs necessarily, although I believe that Jesus changes our heart and our mind and the way we view things. He didn't receive a new set of religious rules, a new rule set to follow. He didn't receive a new religious title or church membership or different things. And not all of these things are wrong, but I think it's worth noting that Zacchaeus actually received him. He received Jesus personally and intimately. And really, I don't believe that our faith, our worship will be real to us unless we receive Jesus himself. If our worship, if our faith, if our devotion, if this preaching, if what we do in these buildings on Sundays isn't, if we aren't receiving Jesus, if it isn't built on him personally and intimately, then really I don't know what we're doing. Really, it won't be real to us, and I don't think we'll experience the change and the growth and the transformation that we're intended to. Because everything that we do is with him and for him and unto him. And if it's not, then I believe that our desires are misplaced. Our faith and our devotion, if it's found on anything else, it won't last and it won't be real to us. It didn't become real to Zacchaeus until he actually met Jesus himself. Until he met the real person, until he met Jesus himself. He'd heard about him, and a lot of people hear about Jesus. But there isn't change, transformation doesn't become real until you meet him for yourself. Zacchaeus was Jewish, and so he would have grown up learning the Old Testament, learning the law and the prophets and the writings, and he would have grown up in a Jewish family, and basically, every Jewish family with their tradition, they would study and recite prayers and passages of Scripture. And Zacchaeus would have grown up around religious leaders, the church people of his day. He would have been surrounded by them. But real change didn't come. It didn't become real to him until he actually met Jesus for himself. And so he was born into a family that knew God or feared God, at least, to say the least. But it wasn't real for Zacchaeus. He was around church. Maybe on the outside, the outward appearance, he would have been able to do the church things. He probably would have been able to quote a lot of scripture. He would have known Bible. But that doesn't matter if you don't know Jesus. You have to meet him for it to become real in your life. John 5, 39 and 40. I normally don't read this many passages. I actually had to limit it because I think so many different passages in our Bible go along with this same kind of thread that we're talking about here. But John 5, 39 and 40, Jesus is speaking to a very similar group of people that would have been around in Luke 19, maybe even some of the same people, some of the same group. These people were upset that Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus and was going to go be the guest of a sinner. And I'm talking about trying to get us to realize and at least pay attention to Zacchaeus would have been around the things of God without actually knowing God himself. And these people were familiar with religion. They were familiar with rule sets and guidelines and different things on the outside, but they hadn't met God for themselves, even though they thought they had. And so the ESV reads it, says something along the lines of, "You search the scriptures," in John 5, 39, "for in them you think you have salvation." I actually want to read it out of the Message really quick because I love the way that it's worded. "You have your heads in your Bibles constantly because you think you'll find eternal life there, but you miss the forest for the trees. These scriptures are all about me." And they wouldn't have had the New Testament at that time. This was all the Old Testament. And he was speaking to the church people of the day, saying, "You're focused on the wrong things, because even all those Old Testament scriptures, they're about me. They're pointing to Jesus. And here I am standing right before you, and you aren't willing to receive from me the life that you say that you want." It wasn't real to them unless they would have encountered Jesus. It didn't become real to Zacchaeus until he actually received him for himself. It wasn't real to these religious people, to these church people that were upset with Jesus and Zacchaeus because all they had received was religion, religious things, and they hadn't actually received him. These people in John 5 and in Luke 19 were going through the motions of religion, thinking that it was the family that they were born into and the lineage that they had and what they did on the outside and the acts that they did is what brought them closer to God, when really it was only intended to bring them closer to Jesus. Which is why Jesus announced to everyone that salvation, Jesus said concerning the crowd and to Zacchaeus, he announced it in front of everyone. Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. Yes, Zacchaeus was Jewish, but according to the law, he wouldn't have really been a child of God because he would have been sinning so much as a tax collector. The Jews wouldn't have accepted him. They wouldn't considered him a son of Abraham. But Jesus called him a son of Abraham, and it wasn't because he was Jewish in descent. It was because of his faith and his recognition of who Jesus was. And I think Jesus was affirming this and assuring Zacchaeus of his right standing with God based on his faith in Jesus. And then also getting the attention of the crowd around, saying that it wasn't the family, it wasn't the ability to do the church things, which is what brought you right with God, which is what brought you to God, but it is actually faith in Jesus is what makes you a child of God. They're missing the forest from the trees. They're kind of missing the point of what they were doing and what they were saying and what they were reading, when it was all about Jesus, and they didn't even realize it. These things were meant to bring them to Jesus. And they were missing the forest for the trees. Jesus was telling them that they didn't even realize who it was that stood before them. They didn't realize who it was. They completely missed it. God, heaven coming to earth in the flesh, in human body, in human form, in physical, visible form. And they didn't realize who it was. They were missing who it was that stood before them. And he called himself, in verse 10, he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The Son of Man is a phrase that came from the Old Testament, came from a prophecy in Daniel. And so the Jews would have been very familiar with this, although I think they're missing the point of what it was actually talking about and referring to. Jesus in the New Testament referred to himself as the Son of Man more than anything else. He referred to himself constantly as the Son of Man. And while man, Son of God, we kind of think of the Son of God as more the godly part of Jesus, and then the Son of Man more the human part, it is certainly speaking of the incarnation. Both of them are pointing to the incarnation, which really is a theological term that I'm sure we're familiar with, but it's speaking to God in the flesh. God making himself known. A commentary that I looked at in preparing for this, I love the way it was worded. It's actually one, Grandpa, that you just gave me a couple weeks ago, was saying that the unknowable, unseeable God through the incarnation was making himself known. And so the God that these Jewish people were praising and worshiping and looking to and reading about and calling to when they were condemning a sinner such as Zacchaeus, he was standing right before them, and they didn't even realize it. Jesus came in the flesh, God manifesting himself to these people, and they missed the point. They were missing the forest for the trees, missing that God himself was stepping into time and space where they actually were. And I think that this is beautiful. I think that it speaks to the gospel, that God is an incarnational God, that his love is incarnational, that we don't ourselves have to go. I'm not saying that we shouldn't seek after God, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But we ourselves, we don't find God. When people say, I found God, or I found faith, or I found religion, that's a false statement. We can put ourselves in the place, in the place where we open up and open the door, but it is Jesus who comes and finds us where we're at. He came to seek and to save the lost. And so I like calling this message, Who's Seeking Who? Because it seems like, if you read it through just a human perspective, Zacchaeus was seeking and seeking out and finding Jesus, when really that desire came from God, and it just put him in the place to receive Jesus when Jesus came seeking and finding and saving and restoring him. And so the truth is that he comes and finds us and restores us where we're at. And I believe that he meets us where we are. I have one more thing I want to talk about. If the praise and worship team, worship leader, would like to come in order to sing as we worship here in a few moments. I want to leave kind of a final encouragement, kind of challenge, that I think it can be different for everybody, because I think we might connect with God in different ways, in unique ways. And I think that's part of the beautiful aspect about it, that he connects with you personally. He came and called Zacchaeus by name personally. If we get to the place where we're open and ready to receive from him, I believe that he comes. He's standing at the door knocking. I don't think that he's hiding himself. I think sometimes it feels as though we're putting a lot of effort into trying to find God and seek him out, and sometimes he seems silent or like he's not there, and I really don't think that that's the case. Maybe we have something crowding our way to him. Maybe we need to separate from some things in order to see him more clearly. I don't think that he's hiding. I don't believe that it's in the character, the nature of God to hide himself from us. I believe that it's in the character and the nature of God to make himself known and to come to us where we are. And so if we are open and receptive and get to the place where we receive him, when we do receive him, there's restoration that takes place. Zacchaeus, I've mentioned several times that Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. He called him by name, which is another reason why I don't think this was an accident, because he didn't see some little guy climbing in a tree and then ask him what his name was. Jesus came to the place, specific time and space, and called him by name. He said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I must stay with you. He really didn't give him much of an option. Jesus just kind of came in. But Zacchaeus, the name Zacchaeus, it means pure and innocent. If you look at what the meaning of the name Zacchaeus is, it is pure and innocent. And I've never heard that. I've looked over it myself. But the name Zacchaeus is pure and innocent. But as a chief tax collector, he would have been living and doing anything aside from being pure and innocent. He was anything but pure and innocent. He was deceitful and lying and cheating people. But Jesus came to him and called him by name, called him Zacchaeus. Called him what he was intended to be. And a lot of what we talk about in some of the songs that we sang this morning was that we are who he says we are. We come to be what he calls us to be. It wasn't what Zacchaeus, how he viewed him. It wasn't how the crowd viewed him. But he received Jesus, and Jesus brought restoration and called him what he was intended to be, restored him to what he was intended to be. And so I think that it's encouraging. Anytime that we talk about the goodness of God, because Zacchaeus was obviously a sinner living a lifestyle that was not pleasing to God, that wasn't worthy of or deserving of salvation, worthy of deserving relationship with Jesus. But Jesus didn't focus so much on that as the crowd did. He called him how he made him to be and brought restoration. And there was repentance and change, because we see the change in heart in Zacchaeus. But But again, it isn't real until you encounter Jesus and receive him for yourself. And so I do want to give this opportunity. I don't know if there's anybody in here who really doesn't know Jesus, but I'd like for everybody's eyes to be closed for a moment, just an intimate moment between us and us personally. I don't say to close your eyes to sound spiritual or anything like that, but if there's anybody in here who you haven't encountered Jesus, he hasn't become real to you, and maybe you realize it, maybe you've been feeling convicted, maybe you realize that the crowd is in the way, there's things you need to say, I would like for you to just slip up your hand and say, I want Jesus to become real to me. I think every single one of us, we all have this desire, this innate desire to see Jesus for who he is and to encounter him in a real way. And I'm confident that all of us in this room have a relationship with him. But I know that there's something deeper and something more, and I believe that he wants to become more real to you, wants to become more real in your life. His love is incarnational. I believe his presence is incarnational. He comes and dwells and fills and changes us. And so, Lord God, right now, I pray, Jesus, I pray, God, that you make yourself more real to each heart in this place than you ever have been before, myself included. Lord, we have so much to learn about you. Lord, the reason we pray, the reason we sing, the reason we're here today is to encounter you and for you to become real to us. And Lord, I pray for those of us, maybe if there is some doubt or some confusion or feeling as if, Lord, that you're distant or you're not present or you're not even real to us anymore. Lord, bring that back. Bring us back to the place, Lord, where we first fell in love with you and realized your love for us. We know love. That you sent your son, that you came and died and laid your life down, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, this is a love that we cannot comprehend or fathom, but we know that it's real, and we feel it, and we experience it. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would change us, restore us. Lord, I pray that today that we would meditate and contemplate and open our hearts to you. We know that you're standing at the door knocking. Not just at Connection Church, not just at my home church, but Lord, you're standing at the door and knocking on the hearts of the people, asking to come in. And Lord, I pray that we would receive you. Lord, give us power and boldness to go out of these walls and to soften the hearts of the people around us and to bring this message to them. Lord, this is the greatest news that we've ever heard, that anyone ever will hear. Lord, we all have this desire. We desire for you. We want you. We don't want anything else. We don't want church games. We don't want anything. We want you. And so, God, make yourself real. Be present, Lord. Manifest yourself. Even though you're not here in the physical, invisible any longer, we know that you're still real and still present. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you encounter each person today in their own individual way. Meet them where they're at. Lord, call us down from the tree that we're hiding in. Call us by name. Call us who we are, what we are, who we are in you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.